starting a brand new series tonight. And how many of you are old enough to know what a mixtape is? Anybody? Mixtape. I'm from old school, I guess. And so, you know, when I was growing up, that's what we did. We kind of, you know, created a whole lot of mixtapes. Basically, you just get, like, we couldn't afford a real album in my house. So my dad would, like, here's a bunch of tapes. Record it off the radio. Anybody ever do that, right? And so you may have some gospel songs and some Led Zeppelin. You know, like it just doesn't, it was whatever, you know? And so that's what we're going to, and so the whole deal with this series is really, I heard one pastor, he called his series, it's essentially not the same thing, but the same concept. I'm talking mixtape as far as I'm going to do whatever I wanted, you know, kind of preach over these next few weeks. And he started his at summertime, and he called his yard sale. He's like, you know, it's because, like, you just whatever you can get, right? And so tonight, I just want to kind of talk and walk through some things that I just think is beneficial in this season, and just believe that God's going to speak to us tonight. So most of you probably know, if you've been here, and I know some of you haven't, but I'm currently in physical therapy for what they think may possibly be a torn meniscus. Now, I don't know that. I know that it didn't happen recently. I just started having more issues and complaining about my knee, and if you ask my wife, I've been complaining about knee pain for a really, really long time. Right, so it didn't just recently happen. It's been something that just, you know, every once in a while you go upstairs and it's like pull and just, you know, and then you just like, and then, you know, go to bed, you know, good night, sweetheart. Next thing I know, I'm kicking her, you know, not because sharp pains and that whole deal. But they suspect it may be a torn meniscus, maybe not, I don't know. But here's what I know, it's just gotten worse. And so for a long time it's hurt, but I didn't deal with it like I should have. Right? Like initially it hurt, but I've had pain for a long time, but I didn't actually go to the doctor and ask any questions, right? And so whatever I did to make it worse, I think I've started trying to lose the 20 pounds over 2020, you know what I'm saying? And so I started trying to really run a lot more than just 3 days a week and just really push my, and that's kind of when I started having bigger issues. But here's what I discovered. And you're like, what's, I don't care about your knee, Pastor. This is not, we're talking about Jesus. Here's the point. And that is, it simply reminded me that my past hurt still hurts. My past hurts still hurts. And that happens, right, in life. Like sometimes we get hurt and we know what we should do and we know what God has given us instructions to do and we know what to do, but we don't deal with it properly and we don't go through the process and the pain, right? I just had my first dry needling at physical therapy the other day. That is from hell. Just saying. My personal experience, don't care, you know, sorry E-ties, right? Like, it's just one of those things, right? But we don't go through the process and the pain to deal with what we need to deal with, so we just push through, right? Because, like, we're heavy-duty, tough, strong-willed, strong-minded Southerners, right? So we just push through, and we just deal with it, right? And we end up on this continual hamster wheel of the fact that our past hurts still hurt, right? Have you ever been having a really, really good day? Not recently, but right? Like, but maybe you've had a really, really good day, and then one thing happens, and you go from being really, really happy to really, really depressed in like an instant. Like someone, like you see somebody at Walmart, and you just, like you were happy. Right? You get up in the morning, and you read something on Facebook, and you were happy. Right? But they make a comment or they said something to you and it sparks a memory and you go from really, really happy to really, really depressed in just a moment, right? Simply because it triggered something that you never actually dealt with properly, right? And it just reminds us that our past hurts, if we don't deal with them properly, still hurt. I mean, you've got some past hurts that still hurt, right? It happens in relationships. Let me give you an example. This is not for my personal life, but our house does stay cold, okay? I'm just saying this. But you could be talking to your wife, for instance, and you could be make a comment like this. You ever made this comment? Man, it's cold in my house. Or it's a little chilly, right? And here's the deal. That's all you say, right? But sometimes, guys, as tough as we like people to think we are, or we try to put on like we are, most men that I know, if you get them one-on-one, have the struggle with ever feeling like they're good enough. Right? They don't ever quite measure up. Still waiting for dad to say, man, I'm proud of you. Right? And again, we're not going to say that publicly right now. No, that ain't talking to me. That's not me, right? So they're not going to talk about that now. But most people, if I talk to men one-on-one, it's like they just never feel like they're quite good enough. And we're always trying to measure up and we're not quite good enough. So what happens when you say this innocent statement of, man, like it's cold. A guy doesn't hear it's cold in the house. Right? I'm fixing to help somebody. He wants to become depressed when you say that, right? Because what he hears is I'm not a good enough husband to have a good enough job, to make good enough money, to have a big enough house, to take care of my wife the way she should be taken care of. How many know? Come on, some of you are like, I didn't know that. I just helped you. Like that, right? Like that's yeah, see, you know, we're recording this, Joe. I'm just saying, whatever. But that's what they hear. What does that mean? It means their past hurts still hurt. Their past things that their dad told them or how they didn't ever feel like that, it still hurts. Like it has nothing to do. All you wanted was a hoodie. You didn't know it was this big, huge deal, right? Why are you depressed? I just said it was cold, right? But listen, let me know if you don't deal with things the way that God has instructed you to deal with things. Listen, you can play it over for a little while. We're going to talk about this a little bit for a little while. But listen, it is going to surface, and it's going to cause issues, right? What happens is we get hurt by someone and it turns to anger. And anger, if it's not dealt with, turns to what the Bible calls bitterness. And bitterness, if it's not dealt with, it makes your heart hard. Right? And when our hearts are hard, isn't this true? We're seeing this more and more and more all the time. When our hearts are hard, it changes us. Doesn't it? It changes who you trust. Right? Because some of you got people right now. I've started talking about hurts and you're like, you got names. Right? And I see the bubbles, and I'm not going to name them, okay? Right? But you're like, you got names. Like, I've got names. Like, you talk about hurt. But it changes. It changes who we trust. It changes who we let into our life. It changes how we respond to people. It changes how we talk to people. And it changes how we talk about people. Isn't that right? But here we know the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ is we don't have to allow our past hurts to still hurt. There is a way out, and it's found in Ephesians chapter number 4, verse 31 through 32. You can look at it. We're starting back tonight with our YouVersion notes, so if you want to follow along with that, then we have our PowerPoint here, our keynote. But here's what it says. It says, get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as Christ God forgave you. And so I read that, and you're like, if you're like me, you're thinking, okay, that'd be awesome, right? I'd love to get rid of all my bitterness and anger and rage and malice and brawling and slander because, like, that would be awesome, right? Man, what kind of joy could you have if you could just, like, quit being mad at people all the time? Well, they didn't do this, and blah, 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 right? My children, if they would just behave, like, all this stuff, right? Wouldn't life be a whole lot better sometimes without people? Right? Like, man, if I could just get rid of it, that would be awesome. I could have some joy and some peace for a change, right? If I could just get my anger under control. And God says, listen, you can because, listen, all of that stuff is sucking the life out of you, right? It's sucking any joy out of you because we're not dealing with our past hurts. So how do you get rid of the past hurts? And how do you walk through this? In verse number 32, it says, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as Christ God forgave you. So tonight we're going to talk about one of my favorites, right? My favorite topics, and that's forgiveness. Because here's what I know about forgiveness. You came here tonight, you're like, oh, this is going to be awesome. And now some of you are like, But every one of us, put on your holy face. Every one of us have to walk through forgiveness. every day, often several times a day, right? And so let me just talk to you for a few minutes about forgiveness. Forgiveness is a painful process sometimes, isn't it? Like when I start to talk about forgiveness, you already have some emotions, again, that's already surfaced, right? We're talking about, and you've got that person you're thinking about or that situation you're thinking about, and you're thinking, man, I can't believe I came here tonight to listen to this. And maybe, honestly, like you may be mad. Like you're not going to say that, but you're like, I'm kind of ticked off. Like I could have stayed home and watched whatever's on Wednesday night, right? I could have stayed home and sit on the couch and ate ice cream, right? Because forgiveness is not a fun topic, right? And I know because I have to forgive people all the time, right? And you do too, right? And it's hard sometimes, isn't it? Can I just be honest with you? It's hard most times, right? The truth is, and so here's the deal. So you're like, you don't know my hurt. And you know what? I don't know your hurt. But I know my hurt. And here's what we can agree on. It hurts. Come on, somebody. Like, I'm not saying your hurt's bigger than my hurt. Like, that's not the issue. The fact is, it hurts, right? And I also know that God says if we'll get rid of our anger and we'll get rid of our bitterness and our hard hearts, it will change. And the way that we live will change. And our joy will come back. And our enjoying life will come back if we'll actually deal with some of the past hurts that still hurt, right? But here's what I know. Forgiveness is not easy, but it is worth it, right? I'm just going to make these deals. Listen to me. Lean in tonight. When we refuse to forgive, we put ourselves in prison. Right? Forgiveness, more than anything, is about freedom. Not theirs, yours. Right? So let's talk about what freedom is just for a moment. Forgiveness is not, this is what it's not, rather, it's not justifying their actions. It's okay, because how many know sometimes they do things and it was wrong and it's not okay. And it's not our job to, well, he just does that when he gets mad. No, it's wrong, right? So we don't justify their actions. We don't let them off the hook. Oh, it's no big deal, right? It's not a guarantee of reconciliation. I'm going to talk about that extensively tonight because sometimes we think, oh, if I forgive, then we're going to be reconciled. We're going to be buddy-buddy. How many know that's not always the case? It should always be the goal, but that's not always the case. It's not a guarantee that you're going to do life together, right? That you're going to enjoy each other's company. Forgiveness is a process, isn't it? Like if I went to the, if I, tonight, for whatever reason, I was cutting apple tonight. I had apple and peanut butter for supper. Come on, Jesus. And so if I cut my finger tonight, I could go to LaSalle General and they can put stitches in my finger and they could sew me up. And the process of healing could begin. But how many know if I caught on fire for whatever reason, I don't get to get stitched up. You know the process for healing when you get caught on fire? I had an aunt one time, she's putting gas in a lawnmower and spilled some gasoline on her leg, burned her leg pretty good. And the process for a burn unit is they scrape off all the bad. They wait a while, like not very long, wait a while. And then they wait for the new skin to come, that one layer, and then they take that off. And they do it again and again and again. And can I just be honest with you? That's kind of what it feels like when you start saying, I'm going to forgive. It's not a quick stitch. It's a slow, hard burn recovery. Not always, right? Because some people are like, I'm typically quick to forgive, right? Depending, right? But some of you, how many know, like you get hurts that are deep. And so it's not going to be, hey, let's just go get some stitches. It's going to be, this is a process. Like you're going to forgive and you're going to see them again. You're going to have to scrub again because it's going to bring up some stuff because it's not all gone yet, right? So that's what forgiveness is. It's painful sometimes, but it's worth it. So what is the forgiveness process? I'm going to give you a few things tonight and we'll get how far we go and we'll just kind of go from there. Here's the first thing we got to do, and I'm just listening. Please do not listen to this without an intent to say, God, would you, Holy Spirit? As a matter of fact, can I just pause for a moment? Because this is what I do. we come in on a, especially on a midweek service or whatever, and we're like, okay, yeah, I know. I don't need it here. God doesn't need to change your mind. The Holy Spirit needs to change your heart. We don't need to leave tonight saying, yeah, that was good. That was good five steps, man. No, you need to save them on your phone and go back to them more than one time, because you won't get it right the first time. I don't get it right the first time. And sometimes the second and the third and the fourth, like sometimes there's layers. But listen, we don't need tonight to just know what I should do and then go back griping about the same thing. Like, God, can I just say this tonight? God wants to supernaturally change situations. And so we're going to ask him to do that tonight. Amen. Father God, I just pray tonight. Lord, I know forgiveness is a hard subject. Lord, it's not fun. God, it is very much, Lord, like a burn unit, scrubbing layers of hurt and letting things heal and over and over. And God, it's tough. But God, tonight, Lord, we don't need another lesson in our head. God, we need a supernatural, Lord, powerful move of your Holy Spirit, God, to change our hearts. And so, God, that's what we want. Lord, we want to lean in tonight. Lord God, that doesn't mean we're going to leave it out saying, man, we've got it all together, because we don't. But, Lord God, we are going to go out with, Lord, a desire to please you. Lord, not to point fingers, but to please you. God, because we don't want to be in the prison that we put ourselves in. God, we got the key in our pocket, Lord, for release. So, God, help us, Lord God, to take the key out, Lord God, and let you do a work in our hearts. God, I pray in Jesus' name, amen. So here's number one. If we're going to forgive people, number one, you can look at this again on your phone, whatever. We've got to acknowledge the hurt. Amen? Like, we got to acknowledge the people who have hurt you. Like, and we don't like to do that. Not really. We like to forget people, have nothing to do with people that hurt us. Right? Like, I see people that hurt me at Walmart. My first response is not, hey, how you doing? Right? It's usually pretty awkward. Because they know what they did, and I know what they did. Come on, somebody. Right? And so it's not always going to that deal. And so we've got to come to the first thing where we just got to acknowledge the hurt that we've had. Right? Some people have a lot of anxiety right now. And can I just tell you, one of the biggest things you could do to kind of start dealing with your anxiety is just make a list of the people that have hurt you. Because here's what I know. It takes a lot of energy to hold anger and bitter and resentment and unforgiveness in your heart. And sometimes we're all worked up because we're trying to hold it in because I can't say anything, right? How many of you heard? Like, we do it at church. Well, I can't say anything because they're here. That person, right? And we hold it. It's like this deal, and we hold it. And then we wonder how come we're exhausted. It's because you're trying to hold back a herd of horses, right? And we do it all the time, right? We don't have to, right? We have to acknowledge our hurt. What we tend to say is, well, you know what? They say something that hurt you, and you're just like, man, it wasn't that bad. Or we pretend it didn't happen, or maybe we just minimize it, right? Why? Because we're men and women, and like, we're tough, and we just suck it up and move along. We're Gina Giants. Boom! Right? Let's just go. I don't have time to deal with this. I'm not going to let something happen. I'm not going to let what my dad said about me affect what I'm doing today. Like, what has that got to do with anything? I'm not going to let that person rule my life, right? But you never dealt with the hurt, and it still hurts. Every time you think about them, every time you see them at Walmart or in town, it still hurts because you've never acknowledged the hurt, right? We got to acknowledge hurt, because here's the deal, and here's why we got to acknowledge hurt. Because you can never forgive what you won't acknowledge. I'm preaching to you tonight, okay? Eyes up here, right? We got a beautiful baby. We can visit babies later. I'm praying God do something, right? If you never face it and you never feel it, you'll never forgive it. Did you hear me? If you never face it and you never feel it, you'll never forget it. Look at the story of Joseph. Remember the story of Joseph? His brothers sell him into slavery, right? God puts Joseph in a position of authority in Egypt, right? And you know the story. There's a famine in the land with the brothers, and they go to Egypt, and they don't know it's Joseph, and they have this whole experience, right? And he sees him, and he's trying to hold it all in, right? I mean, he hadn't seen his brothers in forever. They wanted to kill him. They put him in a, right? You know the story, right? Now he's in a position to do something, and here's what Genesis chapter number 45, verses 1 through 2 says. It says, then Joseph could no longer control himself before all his attendants, and he cried out, have everyone leave my presence. So there was no one with Joseph when he made himself known to his brothers, and he wept so loudly the Egyptians heard him, and Pharaoh's house heard about it. So here's the deal. What am I saying? He had to finally come face to face and feel and deal with what his brothers had done with him, right? Like, there come a point where he had to let, how many know, have you ever been in a family situation where somebody finally let it all out? Come on, somebody, right? Or you come home after a day's work and you let it all out, right? Like you can hold it for a while. Oh, it's fine. For a while. But if you don't deal with what we're talking about tonight, the way God asks you to do it, I'm just telling you, eventually you will explode. Eventually you're like, hey, it's cold in here, and your husband will go off the rails. And you're like, all I wanted was a hoodie. Why are you so depressed? Why are you so mad? That's why. Because we hold it in. Because we're good Southern proper people. And it's fine. It's fine. But it's not fine, because we leave, and by the time we're in the parking lot, we're already talking about what happened in the house. So if it was fine, it wouldn't be the topic of discussion. We'd be talking more about what Jesus is doing rather than what somebody done. I told you I'm back. I'm not trying to be meek, because I have to do the same thing. Dude, do you not, like, I've been hurt multiple times this year, right? So I'm not talking about easy. I'm talking about God. I want God to do something in my heart. I want him to change what needs to be changed in my heart, right? So he finally faced what his brothers had done to him. He finally felt it. Verse number 4 says, then Joseph said to his brothers, come close to me. When he had done so, he said, I am your brother Joseph, and the one you sold into Egypt. Like, he finally acknowledged what his brothers had done. It wasn't okay, right? How many know it's not okay to put your brother in a pit, right? It's not okay to sell your brother into slavery, right? Like, there's some things that's happened to you. It's not okay. We're not acknowledging it's okay. We're just acknowledging what was done, right? You put this verse on mugs all the time and T-shirts all the time, and I see it, and we don't even know it goes with this story. Genesis chapter number 50, verse number 20, you ever read this? You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good to accomplish what is now being done, saving the lives of many. How many know that's a whole different context when you know what the story was before? Right? Joseph was a and here's what I want to get tonight too. Listen, Joseph was a powerful guy. He's second in command. He's a macho man, right? He had influence, he had power, but he had to have a moment where he stopped trying to pretend that bad things didn't happen, right? And I'm just telling you tonight, maybe you're here tonight and you're like, man, I've got to acknowledge that there's bad things have happened, right? People have hurt me, right? He had to have a moment where he faced it, felt it, so he could begin to forgive it. Because listen, it's not going to be boom. Sometimes God supernaturally does that in a moment, but can I just tell you, most often it's a process, right? And you don't get to Genesis 50:20 unless you go and acknowledge what happened, right? You got to face it, you got to feel it, right? And I just want to ask him some questions, and I want you to wrestle with it. How bad did it hurt? I'm not playing tonight. Like, what they did, how bad did it hurt? How has it affected you up to this point? Right? How is your life different today because of the hurt that you experienced yesterday? Right? You got to face it. You got to acknowledge it. We got to face the whole thing, feel the whole thing, and then we can begin to forgive. Right? So that's the first thing. Here's number 2, and that is you got to give up the right to punish. Right? Until you do this, you've never really forgiven them. Romans chapter number 12, verses 17 through 19, it says, do not repay anyone evil for evil. I mean, no, we could get a lesson from that because we do not do that well in the South. Isn't that right? Like, dude, you did that for me. If you ain't talking to me, I ain't talking to you. You did that to me, I am doing that to you. You slice my tire, slicing your tire plus one. Right? That's not Jesus. Not insult. You insult me, I'm insulting you back. No, no. You ain't treating me like a doormat. No. Let's get back to, okay, that's what your grandma said. Right? That's how you were raised. We're not trying to be how we were raised. We're trying to be how God calls us to be. Right? And it says, don't repay evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it's possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. Come on, somebody. Thank you. Like, you were bad, but I'm liking that better, right? God's wrath on them. Come on, right? My dear friends, leave room for God's wrath, for it is written, it is mine to avenge. I will. Who's going to repay? God. Can I just tell you something? If you're one of God's children, your parents, most of you are parents, right? If you're God's child, how many know he's not going to let people treat his kids bad? He's got it. Like, but I don't see that. Don't matter what you see. He says in his word, how many know in his word is past our feelings, our emotions, what we think's right, what our opinion is, what his word says. Right? He says, I will repay. That, like, that's my job is to take care of any punishment that needs to happen. Right? And so we've got to get our hearts in a place where we can say, I acknowledge what happened, but I've given up my right to punish them. Right? And here's how this plays out. We say this all the time. I've been guilty. You've been guilty. All God's people have been guilty. I forgive you. But then we keep punishing them for the thing that they did. Isn't that right? Like, I forgive you, but I'm still going to make you pay for it. I forgive you, but I'm going to remind you, you did this every single time. Right? Like, you told me that last time. So, that, like, I forgive you, and then they do something, and you're like, yeah, we've been here before, haven't we? We've had this discussion, haven't we? You've blown it this time again, haven't we? Right? And you never get past anything. Because we're constantly living in history because we're trying to punish them. Like, I forgive you if you for. That can't be the subject every single time if we've truly forgiven. Right? If they've done something different to hurt you another time, you can't go back to the thing they did last time and say, all right, I already did that. Because that means you never forgiven, right? You're still trying to punish them, right? I mean, I'm helping you tonight, right? Right, how many of you are like, oops, I may be punishing people, right? You don't have to raise your hand. I'll raise my hand, right? Right? We got to give up our right to punish people or you'll never be able to forgive people. The person will always be the one at fault. You will always do this, right? It's always the thing that they did, right? I've talked to couples and somebody, you know, cheated on a spouse and obviously that's a huge deal, but you know, they're like, no, but I still love him. I want to be together. And it's like, wait a second. If that's the case, then here's the deal. You got to quit reminding him every single day that he blew it. Because he can never outlive that. She can never outlive that. I'm not saying it's easy. I'm not saying forgive and forget because that's not even possible. Except for the... Like, right? That's dumb Southern theology. Right? How many parents told you, forgive and forget. Stupidest thing I ever heard in my entire life. Right? I can forgive, but I I've had things happen to me and you have too that you don't forget. But I can't keep punishing them for it. Right? And that's what so many times we do. They did that. And here's what we do. We don't like to have conversations because we like to assume we know how they're going to do because of their past history. And I get that, right? Right? Because the greatest indicator of future behavior is past behavior, right? So I get that. But listen, that's not what God's instruction is. We're supposed to take the steps and let whatever God does, he does. But we don't get to say, I ain't talking to him and I'm not going to forgive because I know, I already know what they're going to do. Like, I don't get to tell them. I already know what Michelle's going to do. No, you don't. How many know God can change her? And God can change me. Come on, somebody. I'm preaching good tonight, right? Some of you are like, I'm still so angry about being here tonight. It's all right. It's okay. Right? Because it's not easy. But let me just tell you, if we're going to mature and if we're going to grow stronger, right, in this 21 days of fasting and prayer, it's not just, oh, I'm giving out food, so I'm going to lose some weight. That's good. We actually do something supernatural. God's like does something supernatural. Like we're just going all in. Amen. Like, we got to go to that place, because listen, if we're ever going to be a place of health, then this is part of what has to happen, right? You have to actually forgive and say, I'm not going to make you pay for that anymore, right? Here's number three. You think that was good, right? Here's number three. What about this one? Pray for them. It's like what Jesus commands us to do, right? And we think, man, that's easy, right? Here we go. Let's pray. Lord, give them COVID. Lord, may the fleas of 1,000 camels hibernate in their armpits. Right? How many know that's not the prayer? Right? That's the prayer we would like to do, right? I like the psalmist. He's like, crush my enemies. What about that one, Lord? Right? Like, crush the teeth of my enemy. Like, I'm like, yeah, do that, God. I don't want them to ever have to, don't ever give them a steak again, right? Like, just lay all gum that thing to death, right? Like, that's the kind of prayers we like to pray. But that's not the prayers we should pray. And let me just say this to you tonight, okay? When we talk about prayer, here's the deal. It's one thing to say a name tonight, to think of somebody and actually say, okay, I probably need to pray for this person. It's another thing to think of the name. It's another, a whole other thing to actually say, Lord, I lift up and you insert the name and I pray your blessing on them. And I pray you would, Lord, bless them and prosper them and protect them from COVID, and don't let any fleas come on somebody. Like, that's, it's one thing to know the name and know, yeah, that's what I should. It's another thing to literally lift their name up in prayer tonight, and you're going to get an opportunity to do that, right? Because I think we got to respond instead of just listen, because we're already well educated, way beyond our level of obedience. So we actually need to do something, right? We've got to call out their name to God in prayer, right? Matthew chapter number 5, verses 43 through 44 says, you've heard it said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, again, we're trying to follow who? Jesus. I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. I am not having a fun time with this. I'm just telling you, right? Right? Like, it's not a fun season if you're like, we're our whole country is divided, church is divided, like people are, everybody's got an opinion, right? And so, and God's like, pray for them. Right? You stupid Biden. Not God's call. I mean, no, and again, it's really ridiculous. Like, they're stupid. And it's like, listen, I want him to win because when he wins, we win. If he blows it, we all go down on a sinking ship. But that's not always how I'm praying, right? I'm praying like, help him forget he's supposed to come to work today. You know, I'm like, right? Flesh, come on, somebody. Don't look at me all holy because I listen to you on private conversations. Like, you're having one-on-one conversations with me. Like, that's not what our flesh wants to do. I don't want to bless my enemies. I want to crush my enemies. Somebody, especially when they hurt me, right? And Jesus flips the script and he says, I want you to pray for them, right? But here's what it kind of feels like sometimes, right? When our hearts are hard and the ground is hard, and you ever put seeds on hard ground and you think, man, it's too dry and there's nothing going to happen. So maybe when you're praying for your enemies, it goes like this. God, you know what they need. And you walk away, right? That may be step number one. Because that's all you got, right? Because some of us have been hurt in such a deep place, we don't even want to say their name. And so it just starts with something so simple, like, God, just, Lord, you know what they need. But every time we pray for them, I mean, you know, it's tilling. I don't know what there's, God, how they respond to what God does on their end is their deal. But God is tilling up the soil of our hardened heart and bringing freedom to us, whether they do anything or not. It's about my freedom, not their freedom. Right? They got what God wants to do in my. And listen, often he will do something on the other side that you don't even see for a while. But I'm just telling you, that's maybe what it has to start with, right? You start praying for the person that hurt you, and then God starts doing something supernatural. And listen, don't get so caught up. Don't go get so caught up in the natural that you stop believing that God can do the supernatural. Because I don't know about you, but I'm guilty of that sometimes. I base what they've done before, and so I'm like, that's probably what they're going to do this time. And when I'm praying that way, I'm not praying in belief. I'm not praying real blessing on them. I'm praying to look religious and sound righteous, but I'm not praying God really bless them. Because, man, when I pray God's blessing on my enemies, it does something inside, and it changes me. And then it begins to change how I respond to them and how I think. Like, I mean, God can deal, he can still do supernatural, right? He knows if he can get us to pray for those who've hurt us, we can live in freedom, right? We don't have to be in bondage anymore. We don't have to let our past hurt still hurt. Number four, I got to hurry, but I may go long, okay? Be open to reconciliation. Be open to it, right? We don't like this because we think if I reconcile with some people, I'm just going to get hurt again. Ever thought that? Ever had that? Not just a thought. It actually happened to me, Pastor, right? Like, no thanks, Pastor. Don't want to do that. Let me ask you a question. So you don't want to take the steps to have the conversations, even with people that come to church here or people you work with or people you see, whatever. You won't have the conversation. What are you going to do, cut them off and carry the guilt and shame of not doing, knowing that you're not doing what God asked you to do? Have you thought of it that way? Like, here's your choice. You can just avoid it and act like it's no big deal and still be mad every time you see them. Or you can know what God has called us to do and how he's called us to live and carry guilt and shame because you know you're just saying, I ain't doing it. And it's not what God called us to do. That's how we feel, right? It's not fun. I'm not trying to be hard tonight. I'm trying to grow us and mature us. Not by what Pastor Jeff came up with today, but what God's Word says to us today, right? So forgiveness is my part, though. Here's what I need you to know. Forgiveness is my part. Friendship and fellowship is a joint effort, and we can't control the outcome of that. Isn't that right? They may want to reconcile, and they may not, right? Forgiveness and fellowship are totally different things. They're two completely different things. Forgiveness is all on us, right? It's my decision. Well, they won't. No. Forgiveness is all on me. I have to do it. I have to acknowledge I was hurt. I have to give up the right to punish. I have to pray with them. That's all me, right? Fellowship happens, though. Here's the deal. Fellowship happens if there's true repentance. Like, here's an apology. Can we just have a lesson in apology right now? Like, an apology is not like, Kent, I'm really sorry if what I said hurt your feelings and you took it the wrong way. If I've done anything to offend you, I'm sorry. Like, that's not an apology. Like, acknowledge it. Like, dude, when you come and you said this, this is how it made me feel. And actually say what it was and how it made you feel. Right? Like when you said, I look fat in those jeans, it hurt my feelings. Right? Come on, somebody. Like, just say it. Right? Not, well, I'm sorry if that hurt your feelings, you ask. I mean, no, that's not going to win you friends and influence people. Isn't that right? Like, that's not an apology. And we are terrible at apologies. Sorry. Sorry for what? And we won't even say what we did when we know what we did. Right? I'm sorry you took it the wrong way. Still take it the wrong way. You still got a bad attitude, right? Right? Fellowship happens when there's true repentance, a true apology. It happens when there's true change. It happens when there's true trust. It happens when there's mutual honor. It happens when there's mutual respect. And it's rebuilt over time. Right? You can forgive, and sometimes not be reconciled. But it's always the goal to reconcile. And sometimes, I think Christians, Christians wimp out. Because it's like, well, the Bible says as much as it depends on me, you know, so I ain't doing nothing. No. It's always the goal for, I'm going to do everything I can to be in right relationship with people. Right? So we strive for fellowship, but it's not always possible. And Paul gives Timothy some instruction. He's called to ministry, and here's what he says in 2 Timothy chapter number 2, 23 through 25. Y'all all right out there? I'm trying to help you, not to hurt you. Right? How many know this is life, not death? It's just against the flesh, and nobody likes it, right? Right? Don't have anything to do with foolish and stupid arguments, because you know they produce quarrels. The Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome, but must be kind to everyone, able to teach, not resentful. Opponents must be gently instructed in hope that God will grant them repentance, leading them to the knowledge of truth. We got to walk in the fruit of the Spirit before we can have fellowship with people. Right? He says we got to be gentle. How many know self-control, gentle, like, right? Like, sometimes can I just be honest with you? Sometimes we're not ready for the conversation. And that's okay, as long as it hadn't been 10 years since you've been ready for the conversation. As long as you're saying, God, make me ready for the conversation. Right? That God, I'm trying to move in the direction you want me to move. Right? Here's what he said in Titus chapter number 3, verses 9 through 11. He gives the three strikes, you're out kind of rule with people. He says, but avoid foolish controversies and genealogies and arguments and quarrels about the law, because these are unprofitable and useless. Warn a divisive person once, and then warn him a second time, right? How many know we don't do that in the South? You hurt my feelings one time, boom, you're out. I hate you. You did one thing. You could have done 99 things great. You do one thing, right? It happens to pastors all the time. Can I just tell you out in the flesh? Like you love them all the time, and you make one mistake, and it's like you're out. And then we wonder how come people are blowing their brains out. Because all of the time, right? Like, that'd be like me, Michelle getting mad at me. I'm do one thing. Like, I've loved her for 25 plus years, almost 26 years. I do everything I possibly, well, that's not true. I want to do everything I possibly can, right? Because, I mean, like, we're just not perfect, right? She's not perfect. I'm not, like, I can sit there and look at each other's imperfections. Like, I love her with everything. But listen, she doesn't, like, dude, you didn't take out the trash when I asked you to the first time. I'm out. Done. Divorce. She don't do that. Why do we do that with each other? Why in the world do we do that with each other? How many know we do? Right? We don't have the three strikes, we're out rule that Paul gives in this scripture. We have the one time, you hurt me one time, you'll never do it again. Ever said that before? You'll never hurt me like that again. Warn a divisive person once, then warn them a second time. God says, aren't you glad he gave you a second chance? After that, have nothing to do with them, though. You may be sure that such people are warped and sinful and self-condemned. Right? Some of you are like, I'm getting a t-shirt, and I'm going to give it to them, right? There's some people who just don't want reconciliation. So Paul gives some instruction on how to deal with those people. Don't have stupid arguments, right? Don't just write them off the first time either, right? Like, our goal is always reconciliation. Here's number 5. I'm going to try to hurry up. I know. Pray for strength and healing. How many know we need to do this? Isn't that right? How many know you can't forgive on your own? Some of us have been so caught up in the natural that we like, there's no way this is ever going to happen. And the truth is, it's not, because you're not believing God to do something supernatural. Right? The truth is, it's not going to happen because Pastor Jeff decided I'm just going to write those people off because that's just the way they treated me once, and I'm tired of being hurt, and I've been hurt before, and I'm just tired of being the... Yeah. And I start following Pastor Jeff's interpretation of what I want instead of what Scripture says. So what do? You pray for strength, and you pray that God heals, right? Let me give you some Scripture. 2 Corinthians chapter number 13, Verse number 11, it says, finally, brothers and sisters, rejoice, strive for full restoration, encourage one another, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. What does he say? Strive for reconciliation, restoration. 2 Corinthians chapter number 12, verse number 9, it says, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient. How many know you need grace? Right? For my power is made perfect in weakness. Like, Pastor, I can't. That's when we need God's power. How many know when we can't, he can. Oh, that was good. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weakness so that Christ's power may rest upon me. Matthew chapter number 19, verse number 26 says, Jesus looked at them and said, with man, it's impossible. Isn't that true? Like, dude, I've had some things happen to me in my lifetime, and you have too. That man, if it was up to you to forgive, you're like, it ain't happening. Right? If I talk to you, there's some of you today, like you've had abuse of all kinds. You've had people have walked out. You've had all kinds of stuff. You've got all kinds of reasons. Like with man, it is impossible. How many know, listen, we're not trusting in what man can do. We're trusting what God can do through us. Philippians chapter number 2, verse 9 through 10 says this. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that's above every name. How many know that Jesus is the name that's above every name? At the name of Jesus, that every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. Like, how many know there's power in the name of Jesus? There's power in the name of Jesus. So we got to help. We got to ask Jesus to help us to forgive people, right? How many know Jesus can help us walk in freedom? So here's what I'm going to do tonight. Just for a moment, this was a confession. Again, good for the soul, bad for the reputation. I thought, dude, we have so many people out tonight or have been out for the last several months. I'm like, Tracy, just give me a few of these cards. And once again, God's like, who do you think you are? And there's a whole lot more of you here than I have cards. Okay. So if you would like one of these, because again, I'm not talking about this is pie in the sky thing. I'm talking about we're going to pray this prayer. If you'd like one of these cards, we could either give. I think it's maybe 17. I don't know how many exactly, but I've got some. And if you don't have, you can get it on your phone, or I can send it to you on your phone or ever how. But I want you to bow your heads, and I'm going to pray a prayer. And here's the deal. There's going to come a point where I put on the card just a blank, and you got to insert the name. And maybe tonight it's not one name. Maybe you like, I need to get a pencil because I got several names, and I need the card because I need names on the back. Okay? That's okay. But here's the deal. Here's what I want to pray. Because we got to make some declarations tonight. Did you know? And I could be mistaken, but I think I read that when they signed the Declaration of Independence, they actually wasn't independent at the time. They actually then went out to war. We got to make some declarations about what God wants and what he desires for us. And so I just want to just pray this tonight. And I'm just going to read this to you. And I just ask you to pray this prayer with me. God, I'm ready to stop pretending like the pain in the past is not affecting the present. Please forgive me for holding on to unforgiveness. Today I declare that I'm getting rid of this unforgiveness and letting go of hurt and anger. And I completely forgive, and you got to put in the name, in Jesus' name. And I will thank you that you're healing these wounds that were inflicted. I thank you that you're making me whole and setting me free. And I declare that I'm giving up my right to judge and punish this person. I completely forgive, and it's all in your hands now. In Jesus' name, amen. And I just want you to keep your heads bowed, your eyes closed tonight. Father God, tonight, Lord, we want to go, Lord, to deep places, God, not because we're trying to do anything other than just line our life up with what your word says. And God, I'm recognized tonight, Lord, that forgiveness is a huge issue. Lord, it is for me. God, I've had stuff happen to me, Lord, that people don't know. God, it hurts. Lord, people in this room tonight have had hurts, and it's been tough. And so, God, we're not talking about something that we're going to leave tonight and say, okay, it's all fixed now. God, we're going to maybe pick up a card tonight and say, you know what, God, I need you to do something supernatural. God, I need you to help me to do my part. God, forgiveness is on me. I've got to decide to acknowledge, and I've got to decide to refuse to keep punishing them. I've got to decide to pray for, like, I've got to do what I can do and trust you with all the rest. And so, God, tonight, would you just help us to do that? God, tonight, we ask you, Lord God, to help us because, God, we recognize tonight, because, Lord, some of us have tried. Lord, we've tried so many times, God, that when we talk about forgiveness tonight, Lord, that's our first response. Like, I've tried. And so, God, I'm not suggesting this is a one-and-done thing tonight. I'm suggesting that you want to do a work in our hearts supernaturally deep. God, that's not easy. Lord God, it is scraping off the old and putting on the new and scraping off and Lord, letting healing take place. And Lord, there's an element of time, God, that has to take place, God, for fellowship and restoration if that's to happen. And Lord, sometimes the truth is, God, sometimes people don't want it. And so, God, I just pray tonight, Father God, again. Lord, we're feeble and we're unable. Lord, your word says, God, again tonight, Lord, with us, it's impossible. But, Lord, with you, it's possible. God, we don't have to live with anger and resentment and malice and slander and all of this stuff and bitterness and have hard hearts. God, but you can do something supernatural tonight. And so, God, tonight, all I'm asking you to do, God, has not let us leave this room and say, yeah, okay, whatever. But, Lord, we would leave this room wrestling with your Holy Spirit. Because, God, my flesh and, Lord, your spirit, Lord, we have discussions when it comes to forgiveness. Because, God, my flesh doesn't want to do what my spirit knows, what I know I should do. And so, God, Lord, it's not good. Lord, there's going to be some wrestling tonight. Lord, and that's okay. It's okay if we're not ready to do it all tonight, Father God, but to start the process of something supernatural. God, that needs to happen in churches all around this world. Lord, particularly in America. Lord, that needs to happen at workplaces, in families. Lord, with children. Lord, with spouses. God, because every one of us, Lord, we wrestle with this, and I do mean wrestle. But Lord God, your word has given, and I've tonight, Lord, tried to lay out as clearly as I can, Father God, the truth of your word. Lord, with as much love and patience and understanding, God, because I need as much as anybody else. But God, would you help us to take the step? Lord, we don't need another lesson tonight that has no impact on how we leave and live our life. God, we need your Holy Spirit to do something supernatural. God, something in our life, God, that we can't do. And maybe tonight that's just the first step of just saying, you know what, maybe this could be different this time. Maybe just the belief that maybe this time it could be different. And so, God, we thank you. Lord, I thank you that, Lord, Lord, call us to things you don't empower us to walk in. Lord God, and I just pray, Lord, tonight that you would do, Lord, all that you desire to do, Father God. And Lord God, that you would help us to understand, Lord, it's all about freedom. God, you desire, Lord, to set us free. Lord, to be free indeed. Lord, where we can have those conversations. When we see somebody, we don't have to avoid them. When we talk about somebody, we don't have to have this awkward conversation. When we talk to them, we don't have to have, Lord, that we can actually truly, Lord, walk in forgiveness. And that's not giving them permission to be cruel and that whole deal. God, it's just, Lord, we've chosen to not allow our past hurts to still hurt. And so, God, we ask you for your Holy Spirit to help us to do that. And, God, we thank you, Lord, that you do and you will, Lord God. And we declare, Lord, freedom in this house, freedom in our lives, God, tonight, in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen.